please avail yourself of the marmakamos. They're not necessary for this year, but your appreciation of the Torah we discussed together will be enhanced by using the marmakamos. Shumazaman, as people come in, please make sure that they have the marmakamos. Look around. Take a smell, touch. There are many things that we can easily sense. They're visible, they're audible, they're tangible. Yet perhaps there are more that escape the naked eye. Can't be heard by the average ear, and can't be sensed by your sense of touch. How is halacha misyaches? It's a phenomena that we know exists, yet we can't really sense. Tonight, Yuli Nishmas Imi Marasi, Maras Yocheved Pesha Bas Hillel, Aleha Shalom, we're going to discuss several different aspects through the pages of halacha, very practically, about things that we can't necessarily sense, but we very much know are there. Now, a word of caution. There's going to be a very nice approach in which many people have an opinion which is l'shitasam. It's going to seem that many approaches are going to really line up on two sides. There are some that are going to analyze things microscopically, for example, some that are not. In each case we talk about, each one is not necessarily tali habaha. They don't have to be intertwined as easily as they might seem. Yet, there's a fascinating discussion of matter, which is not necessarily sensed by the five senses. A hot topic for the past several decades was, and is, the concept of brainstem death, usually known as brain death. What's the status of a person who unfortunately doesn't seem to be alive, but can be sensed to be alive? He's being artificially kept alive. And there are some, perhaps he's not necessarily breathing by himself. There is a bit of a heart beat. Perhaps the heartbeat is only being maintained by a machine. Of course, the discussion which is not resolved, adayam azeh, depending on who a person paskens like. But in the early 1970s, in fact, in Tav Shin Lam in 1970, Rav Moshe Feinstein, one of the seminal psakim, one of the earliest tshuvas about brain death, was asked the following shaila. Someone said to Rav Moshe Feinstein, you know, think about it. If God forbid a person is in a hospital and he's lying still, he seems as if he's not alive. You're going to tell me that because we can take an EKG and find a faint heartbeat, we're going to say he's alive? Come on. Said the Shoel. The Shoel happened to be a grandson of Rav Simcha Zelig Rieder, the famous posek of Brisk. Rav Chaim was the Lamdan, but Rav Simcha Zelig was the posek in Brisk. And he says, my grandfather told me that we don't really care about things that are smaller than the naked eye. So if we don't really care about things that we can't sense, even though we know they're there, the person seems to be no longer alive. The fact that medical science can determine that he's alive shouldn't revive him. He's no longer alive. Therefore, brainstem death is absolutely dead. That's the show, what the show says. Now, there are two different observations there. Number one, the fact that we don't care about things that the eye can't see. And number two, to apply that to brain death. So Rav Moshe says both of those I don't agree with. Well, first of all, I agree with the first one. We don't care about halachically things that you can't sense, but says Rav Moshe in the first source on the Marmakomos, b'marofim roim, in the bold, seduvas electric radiogram, they see an EKG, lomar, she'en otlum, you want to say that it's nothing, why not? V'nechshav meis, the person is actually considered dead, achim hifsek linshom, as long as he's not breathing, V'dima l'zeh, you compare this, l'mashim mutarim l'echol kol dvarim shenis chamsu. Anything which is fermented, you're allowed to eat, even though we know, of course, fermentation is caused by microorganisms. So if fermentation is caused by microorganisms, you're still allowed to eat them, we don't care. Either microorganisms under a microscope are alive, clearly you don't care. So he said, you quoted to me, who said this? Rav Simcha Zelig, Rav Chaim Brister, they said you're allowed to eat fermented wine, fermented vinegar, fermented bread, because we don't care about microorganisms. It says Rav Moshe, b'mechilas kvod, your great ancestry, that's Judaism. We all presume that anything microscopic is irrelevant. We all eat bread. We all drink wine, even though it's fermented by microorganisms. It says Rav Moshe, in the bold, I'm skipping a few lines to the bold of Etzem, you don't need to really prove from fermented matter, because if you took any sample of air from a shul right now, or anywhere else, the whole world is full of microorganisms. Truly, halacha doesn't care about microorganisms, and therefore you don't need to say you have a Kabbalah from Rav Simcha Zelig, your grandfather, the posek of Brist, from Chaim Brister, that says the microorganisms don't count. We all know microorganisms don't count. This is Rav Moshe, I'll tell you. The same is true with Ribuah Tfilin. If you want to make sure Tfilin has to be square, we don't use some sort of micrometer to determine if this Tfilin are square. They look square, they're square. They don't look square, they look like triangles, they're triangles. If they look square, they're considered square. Rav Moshe says in general, in Olah Halacha, we don't use anything beyond our senses. But says Rav Moshe, hold on. The last four words, the connection that to say that the person who's brain dead is actually dead because science can't pick that up, that's not true. Come on. The person is alive. Once the person is alive, we're not going to say that we can make him dead because we can't sense it. Once medical science tells us he might be alive, he might indeed be alive. So we see for Rav Moshe two different points. Number one, Rav Moshe takes what the shoel, the person originally said, was something from Rav Chaim Brister, some sort of Mesorah that he had in his family. Rav Moshe says everyone has that. We all know in halakha we don't care about things the naked eye can't see. Or else we couldn't eat anything, we couldn't breathe. But Rav Moshe does say we can't connect that to brain death. Brain death is a shaila, which is still unresolved. We're not going to postulate that based upon the fact that EKG is something that we only have in current medical science we wouldn't have had otherwise. This sets the table in general for the concept of not halakhically caring about things that are smaller than the naked eye. And it follows through in many areas of halacha. We are now in New Jersey, but around a decade ago in New York, there was a major issue that broke out all of a sudden. Perhaps the most basic substance of life, the only thing we know is kosher anywhere, which is water, all of a sudden was glatt treif. It was found that New York has water which is so fantastic, not like Passaic. The New York water is so great that they don't need to strain it. So copepods, a word we never even heard of beforehand, didn't even know how to spell. Copepods somehow make it through the reservoir into the faucet and into the water we drink. And everyone used to say, what do you mean? There's no copepods. I don't see any copepods. If you look carefully, you can see there are some sort of micro insects, which are indeed insects, or there are water creatures that have an exoskeleton that are in the water. And that there was a plethora of tshuvas discussions, both oral and written, as far as what do we do? Can New Yorkers drink their water? There are some that filter their water, some that are made so that you don't need to filter the water. But the question is, are the copepods visible? If you can't really see them with the naked eye, perhaps there's nothing to talk about. Like some used to point out, I see water, I don't see copepods, no problem. What do we say? No. Maybe, indeed, it is an issue. So it's interesting, the issue comes to a head in a very different situation, in the safer none other than Shmini Shabbos Tol Chasa. There's an insect called scales. Scales, Baruch Hashem, we don't usually have on the food that we have. The most common way we see scales, most men and women perhaps see it at least once a year. Scales very often grow on the lulav. If you look, if you keep your lulav well, especially in water, they're little black pieces. They look like little wax circles. Sometimes they're surrounded by a little bit of white. That grow, not mold. Mold, you can tell what mold is. But aside from mold, often either on the lulav or between the leaves of the lulav, you have the date palm scale. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Sound familiar? If you look carefully, next time, if you look at your luav, you'll see often on luav, and it's the most common way to see scales. Scales are these little circles. They're black with a little white. Are you familiar? Does that make sense at all? Sometimes there's these things you can sometimes scrape up with your finger. They're annoying. Why can you scrape them up with your finger? Because scales are really an insect. Apparently, they get onto the luav. They go onto all different types of fruits. And then they make a coating, and they just stay there. They sit, they relax, schmooze, and we don't even notice they're insects, but indeed, they're insects. So there was a shayla, what if you have those insects on an orange, not so appealing, but and then they go onto your, instead of being just on the peel, they actually go onto your orange. It's a shayla of borer to wipe them off on Shabbos. So Shmir Shabbos Kosta says, you're allowed to wipe them off, you can rinse them off on Shabbos. What about eating them in the first place? Are you allowed to eat them? So, the Shmir Shabbos Tochas in source Bayes quotes, scales, the Inyan Isra Toloyim, regarding the matter of the scales, all those that came late because of the traffic linked in tunnel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you extra star for your star alicha. Says the Shmir Shabbos Tochasa, when you nisur talayim, l'char yesh lamar, one should say, you can't really differentiate the chiyusan and rechushusan. You don't know they're insects. Had I not told you that they're insects, you'd be happy carrying your lulav or seeing your citrus fruits with these little black things on them. Now I'm telling you you're insects. Next time you take your lulav, perhaps you'll be a little bit grossed out when you see that these things are really insects in your house. It says the Shmir Shabbos Tochasa, that he heard from none other than a name we're going to go through several times tonight, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that since you can't really notice that these look like insects, yeah, the taxonomist might tell you they're insects, but they don't look like insects. They can't be determined to be insects. There's totally not a problem. And therefore, you're allowed to eat citrus fruits with scales on them. You might not want to, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, you're allowed to wash them off, but if you swallow scales, don't worry. But then says the Shmir Shabbos Shulchan in Source Bayes, third line, Avalachar's man chazar bo. Rav Shlomo Zalman changed his mind. But Amar, he said, I'm changing my mind for two reasons. First of all, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, I heard the Chazon Ish, the great posek of Bnei Brak and Klal Yisrael, Chazon Ish disagreed. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, if Chazon Ish disagreed, he says it's treif, I'm not going to tell you should eat it. Number one. Number two, says Rosh Hashanah, you know, it's very possible as the scale is getting to the place that it wants to sit down and rest, you can still notice it stir you a little bit. So, it's noticeable. Meaning, we presume it's not noticeable, it really is noticeable. But think about this situation with scales. Says Rosh Hashanah Orbach, even though we can actually see the item, we can't see that it's an insect, we don't care. This is a chiddush beyond what Rav Moshe said. This we can see. It's not like microorganisms in the air. We can actually see it. Even though it's visible, it's not something which is discernible as an insect, says Rosh Hashanah Zalman, at least originally, it's permissible. Chazon Ish says no. Chazon Ish sounds like disagrees. He says, once you can see the item, you need a microscope to tell you what it is. But as long as you can see it, indeed, it is a problem. Copepods seem to have been perhaps a problem, certainly according to the Chazon Ish, and perhaps even according to Rosh Hashanah Zalman. Copepods looked like pieces of dust originally, but then you were able to notice that they were indeed microcrustaceans. So number one, Chazon Ish says that you can see them as a problem. It could be that even Rosh Hashanah Zalman would say they were a problem, since these you don't need a microscope, you just need some training. Not special eyesight. Just the fact you need to be able to see them itself is a problem. But again, we see here in Machlokas something which is not just not discernible. It's something which you can clearly see, you just don't know what it is. Is that considered a problem in halacha or not? In an amazing rainbow of halacha, a similar machlokas manifests itself in a totally different aspect of life. There was an invention made many years ago, which many homes use all the time for purposes other than what they're designed for, called soft wipes, moist towelettes, or most commonly, baby wipes. Baby wipes are used for many different purposes, and baby wipes present a very interesting halakhic conundrum. On the one hand, baby wipes are moist. On Shabbos, we know we're not allowed to squeeze things that are moist. On the other hand, there are those that use baby wipes on Shabbos. What's going on? The bottom of page 1, source Gimel, the Shmir Shabbos Telchasa was Mekil. The source in front of us is from the new print of the Shmir Shabbos Telchasa. It came out a few years ago. The new print, we'll see what he says. In the old print, he was Mekil carte blanche. He said, for sure, it's permissible. In the old print. In the new print, he has one caveat, but he says, Yesh makom lahatel lekanech tinok. One can definitely be lenient and wipe a baby. Oh, and adim is a panim or yodayim, or to clean your face or your hands, b'mam chatot lachot, with moist towelettes. Here's the chumrah, which only appears in the version 2, the updated version, that did not appear in the version 1. Elu asiyos miniyar, vlomi bad. These are made, those that are made from paper, not from linen. Now, you might ask what that means. So, this past week, I was more sensitive to what baby wipes that I use around the house are made from. Target happens to advertise they have some sort of blend called Botanic Blend, and even have the cotton symbol. You know the cotton symbol? That sometimes you have a cotton shirt or a cotton sweater, it has a cotton symbol, it's a copyrighted symbol on it. They have the cotton symbol on their baby wipes because they add cotton to their baby wipes. Target definitely are Mibab. Yet, I was in Luxor, in my father's house on Shabbos, and all the baby wipes there, somehow, are Hamish Rabin. They all say kosher for Shabbos use. There's no Hashtacha. What's Pshat? With Chora, they read the Shmir Shabbos Telchasa, and they know that it says that if it's made from synthetic materials, like those are, presumably then it's Mutter. So there are many baby wipes that are synthetic, many that are made from the linen. So the Shmir Shabbos Telchasa, at least in the updated version, one is allowed to use ones that are at least synthetic on Shabbos. All he says, caveat, is don't squeeze them. Don't squeeze them with your hands. Don't squeeze them very hard. But Shmir Shabbos Shulchan says, Meitil, Pemale, you're allowed to use baby wipes. In fact, Rav Asher Weiss, who we'll see inside in a different point, points out that there's a sefer from a person who's a contemporary, Rabbi Baruch Mastowitz, from Piranha's Hills, originally. Rabbi Baruch Mastowitz did a lot of shimush after he was with me in Shaira Torah. After he was in Shaira Torah, he did shimush for years by Rabbi David Feinstein. He's still, Rabbi Tuchman tells me, he's still by Rabbi David Feinstein. So he paskins, everything he quotes in his beautiful sefer with the Bar Tabam is from Rabbi David Feinstein. He quotes, Rabbi David Feinstein says, in my family, we use baby wipes. Rabbi Moshe was made till to use baby wipes, and we use baby wipes. Doesn't differentiate between those that are made from linen, those that are made from paper. All baby wipes are permissible. In fact, the Shmir Shabbos Shulchasa quotes in the next page, an unbelievable raya. The halacha is there are two times a year that a person is not allowed to wash. One we hope will be non-existent, although it's supposed to be coming in 3 weeks, and Be'ez Hashem should be nepach to a day of Simcha V'Sasson LaYehudim. On Tisha B'Av, a person can't wash. And likewise, in Yom Kippur, a person is not allowed to do rechitza. But says the halacha in Simen Tafresh Yudimel, if you take the towel before Shabbos, or before Yom Kippur, and you use it, you wet it, and you hang it out to dry, and then 15 hours later, when you wake up for Shacharis the next morning, you're going to take the towel and pass it over your face, says the Shulchan Aruch, that's not considered rechitza, that's mutter. So the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah that are passing this way, their intent really is for rechitza. But think about it. Yom Kippur, we know, is that you can't do malacha. Yet the Mishnah Berurah pastions quite explicitly that you're allowed to take these somewhat wet towels and wipe them on your face. Not only is it not a problem of rechitza, what else does it mean? If you're doing it on Yom Kippur, it's not a problem of squeezing. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, quoted in the Shmir Shabbos Telchasa, in the footnote, the same thing is true with baby wipes. No problem. Yes, they have moisture, but halacha already codifies the fact that moisture is totally permissible. There's no problem with taking moisture from something. In fact, towels even are from material. No problem at all with using them on Yom Kippur, which means no problem, not only rechitza, no problem of schitza, mutter l'dami. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, open and shut. It's not my psak. Mishnah Berurah already pastens that you're allowed to do it. However, not so pashut. One of the great postim who was very prolific in Eretz Israel is the Rav in Har Nof, and the posek Talmud of Rav Shmuel Arbach, named Rav Yitzchak Mordechai Cohen Rubin. He's not only a Rav in Bnei Brak, he co-authored a sefer called Orchos Shabbos, which is a beautiful compendium of many Psalkim and Shabbos. It makes it, number one, a digest, to understand easily. Number two, he quotes a lot of contemporary sources on Hilchos Shabbos. Our Hilchos Shabbos says, no way, do not use baby wipes on Shabbos. And Baruch Hashem for the Hilchos Shabbos, the companies that make baby spritz are able to make a living. Because he says you can't use baby wipes. The only way to clean a baby, let's say, is either to use the sink or take spritz and spritz it on. That's permissible. But you can't use a baby wipe. In the next source, Sorasei, Rav Usher Weiss quotes the Arkos Shabbos, and he quotes one of the reasons the Arkos Shabbos says it's prohibited. He says, the Arkos Shabbos, don't you tell me that there's no squeezing going on a baby wipe. Says the Arkos Shabbos, I, Torah Mada. He doesn't say that, but he says, I sent samples. I asked throughout the world, different companies, I asked experts how baby wipes are made. After you'll see in the next source, he even quotes Rabbi Ribiat. Rabbi David Ribiat wrote a beautiful Sefer on Hilchos Shabbos in English from Munsi. He wrote a beautiful Sefer in four volumes, the Lamentos Melechos of Shabbos, the gray. So he did research before the days of something you could search on a computer. He called up Procter & Gamble. He called up other companies to try to find out how are baby wipes made. Are baby wipes made that they're supposed to, some say baby wipes are made to not to absorb. The whole point is that you want the liquid on the baby, not on the wipe. Others say no. If our baby wipes aren't absorbent, they're defective. So Rabbi Ribiat says, the Machlokas are companies, I can't tell you what to do with baby wipes. Better not to use baby wipes. Says the Rav Reuben, I did research. He went in Eretz Israel to some of the foremost experts in materials, and they told him, hands down, baby wipes absorb. They could be meant not to absorb totally, ahin, aher, lamaisa, baby wipes absorb. So says Arkel Shabbos, if they absorb, that means that if you're taking a baby wipe and using it on Shabbos, you're now squeezing. So says the Arkel Shabbos in his Sefer, usher to use baby wipes, b'chal. Lamaisa, last year, Rav Usher Weiss, a person who is well known, l'chotz v'saritz, in America, in Eretz Israel, who came originally from somewhere between here and the Lincoln Tunnel. He used to be in Union City, New Jersey. Then he moved to Eretz Israel. So Rav Usher Weiss says, I heard that the Arkos Shabbos did research. Says Rav Usher Weiss, I'll tell you a klal. Lamaisa, frankly, doesn't make a difference. We don't care in Paskin Halacha based upon how, on a micro level, the baby wipe is working. It says Rosh Weiss in Source Hay. Third line, last one on the line. Fihine karbiyarti pa'amim rabos. I explained many times. Shelenias daiti, in my humble opinion, ein dine ha-Torah b'chlal. B'chlal Shabbos b'frat. In general, certainly in Hilchos Shabbos, nikvayim ayidei ha-mifchan ha-mada'i. We don't ask professors. We don't try to figure out biochemically what's happening. Elayidei mitziyos, saniris le'inenu. We care what it looks like to us. Fisyachse p'nei adam. What does the average Joe see? The average Joe doesn't see squeezing on a baby wipe, says Rosh Weiss in Tshuva Yudalid, and he goes over again in Tshuva Tezvav, Tezayin. Yuzayin has four tshuvas about this. Says Rosh Weiss, I'm telling you, baby wipes are mutter adamri. In fact, I will out bimeto Rosh Zaman. I'll say it's even mutter if they're made of material. Material, paper doesn't make a difference. It's permissible totally. The fact you're going to tell me that they absorb on a micro level, I don't care. The average person sees what you're doing here is you're trying to get the stuff that's on top. That's enough. It might be that technically you're also getting some stuff that's stuck inside the baby wipe. So Usher Weiss, Klal Gadol Halacha, reminiscent of Rav Moshe. We don't care what's going on. And a vista that the eye can't see. Rosh Weiss says, Mutter Lugamri. Oh. That was not taken sitting down. Rav Yitzchak Mordechai Cohen Rubin's shul in Har Nof, every so often puts out a beautiful kavetz, several hundred pages in Halacha. They quote from people that are no longer alive, from many people that are contemporaries, a heavy kavetz l'Halacha called Heichala. In Heichala Gimel, Rav Reuben, Yitzchak Mordechai Cohen Reuben, stands up and says, hold on, it's a Rav Usher Weiss, I'm telling you, no, this doesn't hold any water. Or quite to the contrary, it does. I'm going to be machmer, and I'll tell you why you're wrong. Says Rav Rubin, the machaber of the Aruch HaShabbos, in his retort, his response to Rav Asher Weiss, source Vav. First of all, Yud Aleph and Achmi, the whole Yud Aleph inside, I'm telling you for sure they absorb. And in Yud Gimel, he says, you want to tell me you look what the average Joe sees? If you ask the average Joe if baby wipes are absorbing or not, what do you think the average Joe is going to say? Are baby wipes being squeezed or not? What would you think? Says Rev Reuben, Yud Gimel, Mashatoyen Tvotaris Rabbeinu, what you pastioned, She'in Anu Mischashvim B'mada, we don't care based upon the science, Elufi Rosei Ayin, based upon what the eye sees, Sarazu Nechona, maybe you're right, Achim Kain, Yishonel Iluch Yisa, let's go to the other side. Adirabba, to the contrary, Tevan She'be'enei B'nei Adam Nira, She'mashtim B'lum, the average person thinks that baby wipes absorbed water, absorbed the chemicals, the clean. Since the average person thinks they absorbed, it should be usher. Take a vote. Says Rav Reuben, I think if you ask people in my shul in Har Nof, most people would say they think baby wipes absorb. In any shul. Meaning, if you want to know what people think baby wipes absorb. Therefore, maybe you're right, it's not based upon what people actually see under a microscope. It's what they think. What they think, though, is that baby wipes absorb. So Reuben says he is going to usher Lagamri. He says, Rosh Weiss, I think you should retract the tshuva. I think you're wrong. Baby wipes are usher. Fascinating contemporary Mafokas. Comes along Rav Asher Weiss and says, sorry, this is in Yeshurun Chavtes. A little cool off the press. The Marad Asra of this shul, Rav Shlomo Gadisman, who was in the back a few minutes ago, he had to leave early. Rav Shlomo Gadisman is famous for Arbat Satara, most notably for the beautiful volumes of Yeshurun that he puts out, which is a phenomenal kovetz that he spearheads from his home in the Upper West Side, and it's known throughout the world as a tremendous wealth of encyclopedic aspects of halacha and hashkafa. And he has people that are from all walks of life writing very important shuvas in this kovetz called Yeshurun. Each volume, 600, 700 pages, huge kovetz. Not to say the kovetz, sometimes you think of a kovetz, a periodical. Periodicals like magazines that come, they're 50, 60 pages. This is a major sefer every time that it comes out. Yeshurun Chavtes, now they're up to Yeshurun Lamed, I think. So Yeshurun Chavtes, which is the one which is semi-recent, Rav Asher Weiss responds. He says, I'll tell you, I still think I'm right. Baby wipes are mutar l'gamri. And Rav Reuben, you're wrong. Says Rav Asher Weiss in Zion. In the second paragraph in Zion. Ein tevanasi, first of all, aniach anacha kalit. I'm not telling you that in all areas of halacha, that we never ask experts. Sometimes we do ask experts. But says Rav Asher Weiss, think specifically. We're talking about matters of squeezing. And all the other malachos. A malacha is not defined based upon science. It's based upon what the eye sees. So Rav Asher Weiss, since based upon what the eye sees, skipping a few words by the period, the kaven shelofi reos einenu ein kan schitza klal. The average person doesn't see schitza. They see you taking something moist. If I take something moist and I put it down here, what happens? There'll be some moisture here. Did I squeeze it? No. If I take anything moist and I put it down anywhere, there'll be some moisture. So Rav Asher Weiss, by definition, if you take something that's wet, it's going to leave some moisture with it. So says Rav Asher Weiss, since it's not based on a vote, I see schizah here, I don't see schizah here. Rav Asher Weiss says, we all know that if you take something moist and you put it down somewhere, there's going to still be moisture. Not because you squeezed it, but because moisture begets moisture. And therefore, says Rav Asher Weiss, in the last line, ha'alfi ra'os einenu, based upon our eyes, kimeya edim. It's like there are 100 witnesses, meaning it's absolutely positive. Ein kan schitza klal. There's no squeezing. So Rav Asher Weiss says it's not based upon a vote. This person says there is squeezing, this person says there's not squeezing. We all know a common phenomenon is that things that are wet leave moisture. Not because you squeeze them out, but because they're just there. Says Rav Asher Weiss, I'm meitel again in baby wipes. At first he was meitel in tshuva. Then Hechala, Rav Reuben Asert, comes along to Rav Asher Weiss in Yeshurun and says he's willing to be meitel again, halacha l'maisa. So it's definitely been on a fascinating journey. We saw Rav Moshe set the table telling us we don't care about things that are not visible to the naked eye. We then saw the issue in Shabbos Bechasa with the scales and insects that we can discern with our eye, but we don't know what they are. And then a jump to baby wipes, of all things. For baby wipes, there's a machlokas halacha maisa. Are baby wipes something which, since science says they absorb, by definition, you're going to be squeezing when you use them? Or no, the average person doesn't think they're seeing squeezing. Rav Asher White says, mutter legamri. Is it based upon science or based upon what the average person sees?
Interesting. The reason a person uses a towel is because the towel absorbs. According to the Mishnah Berurah, everybody would agree that it should be able to.
Good. Fantastic. So Avi, you're mechaving to Rav Asher White. He says, hold on a second. We all know that towel that you hung up on Erev Yom Kippur, to use on Yom Kippur, by definition, any water on the outside evaporated. The way you're getting water the next day is by having water that's inside. Yet since the average person doesn't view that as squeezing, that's just using a wet towel, that's enough. Exactly your point, says Rav Asher Weiss, we're going to be makeup. But Reuben says no, since if you look on a more deep level, indeed it's squeezing, that's enough of a concern to us. Amazingly, the same machlokas takes place in a totally different aspect of halacha. Many people here are wearing glasses. Those that are not are either because they have very good vision or because they have contact lenses. Way back, over a decade ago, in the same Kovitz, Yeshurun Zion, a tremendous chumer broke loose. There are two types of contact lenses. Hard lenses, I don't think Dr. David Rossoff, does anyone use hard lenses nowadays?
Very few.
Soft lenses are where it's at. A resident expert in eyes, thank you. So, Lamaisa, most people use soft lenses. Soft lenses, apparently, you're supposed to have cleaned, ideally, every day. And first, there are two things that are necessary, at least for soft lenses, based upon my understanding. Number one, they need to maintain the moisture, or else they're not going to be soft, and they're hardly going to be lenses. And number two, soft lenses are going to require cleaning. They require regular cleaning. So in Yeshurun Zion, the same posek, Rav Yitzchak Mordechai Aturin Rubin, came out with the following chumrah, unbelievable chumrah. It's based on two points. Number one, there are different materials in halacha. Some materials you can't even put in water. Halacha called shriyaso zehu tibuso. Just by putting a material in water, that's cleaning on Shabbos. With no detergent, no agitation, just putting it in is a problem. But some materials are very non-absorbent, such as leather. Leather, even soft leather. If you take leather and put it in water, says the Gemara, we don't say shriyaso zeu tibuso. Just putting it in water is not enough to say that's a problem, because leather doesn't really absorb. In order to clean it, you have to do something much more on Shabbos. Says Reuben, first of all, how do you look at soft lenses? Soft lenses probably are like leather. They're like R. So if soft lenses are like leather, Lamaisa, you have to ask yourself, are they like leather that you could say that you're allowed to clean them on Shabbos? Or maybe they're like material. They're soft. They're plastic. Says Rav Rubin, in a lengthy discussion, it's possible that although they seem like leather, they really absorb a lot, and therefore they're even more machmir than leather. Just putting them in water is going to be a problem. But furthermore, says Rubin, you know what? Even if that's not a problem, we know that you're allowed to put leather in water, or put water on leather. But what would the halacha be if you take detergent and put detergent and water on leather? Says Rav Rubin, it's mistaber. I told you you're allowed to take, there's no problem of shriyaso zerkibuso, just putting leather in water. But if you put leather in water with detergent, that's a problem on Shabbos. You're cleaning the leather. Imagine, if you have a leather sofa, imagine taking the cleaning fluid, taking Fantastic or whatever special leather cleaner and cleaning it on Shabbos. No, you can't use a special cleaning fluid for leather on Shabbos. Says Rav Rubin, I'll tell you, contact lenses are certainly no better than leather. Leather you can't put in a solution which is going to clean them on Shabbos, says the Rav Yitzchak Mordechai Cohen Rubin, I'll tell you. You can take soft contact lenses and put them in a cleaning solution on Shabbos, because the best material you have in the world is leather, and even leather you can't clean on Shabbos. Certainly, you can't clean soft contact lenses on Shabbos. That's what this news broke in Yeshur and Zion. Yeshur and Zion has a 20-page tshuva by Reuben on this, then a 10-page discussion of different chemists from Shenkar College in Ramat Gan of engineering, who tried to explain that indeed, on a microscopic level, soft contact lenses actually absorb, you're actually cleaning them, the dirt is inside the lens, you're cleaning it out. So Reuben said, since on a microscopic level you're cleaning it out, you're putting a liquid which is a cleaning fluid, you can't use soft contact lenses on Shabbos if you're going to clean them. Saline solution might be okay. That's like just material, just water with a little bit of salt. But cleaning them on Shabbos indeed is awesome. That's what he passed. And this was a major change. Rav Eliyashiv was maskim, Rav Vosner was maskim, a major change. For those that wore soft contact lenses, they certainly do not see things as clearly on Shabbos. Now, one of the lone postim that was makil was a deceased Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Rav Shlomo Zalman was already nifter at the time. Yet he was recorded as having been makil on contact lenses. The question is, he can't really defend his opinion because he's no longer alive. So Rav Reuben, number one in Source Ches, says, in the end of Source Ches, Im Kain with the Zeh Yishlomar, we will say that Gam Im Nidonis HaDashot, even if we maintain that the lenses are Rachot, Chidin Or, if they are like leather, yeah, Asur L'Shrosan, B'Nozil Nikol, you can't use them in detergent. Says Reuben in the same Yeshurin Zion, that he is Machmir, you might tell me Rav Shlomo Zalman was Mekil, I'll tell you, Rav Shlomo Zalman was not accurately reporting the Metzius. Says the Rav Reuben, source tests, the third line. This is word for word what Rav Shlomo Zalman told Rav Neubert, the author of Shmir Shabbos Tilchasa, why you are allowed indeed to use soft lenses. What did he say? Bad ragil, normal materials, balea besivim, uvena sivim. It is going to absorb both literally between the molecules and around the molecules. Adoshos madra, but contact lenses, enrahem sivim, uvena sivim. They don't have between the layers of material, they don't have different layers of material. Elohim misnapchos machmas hamayim. They just blow up because of the water. They're like a balloon. Since they're like a balloon, it's a different situation. And therefore, skipping a few words, lechein zochroni shemar Rabbi Zatzal amar li she'ein bo mishum shiyosen v'libunon. There's no problem at all to use contact lenses on Shabbos. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, contact lenses are different. There's no between the molecules, between the layers of material. They're like a balloon that blows up. And therefore, it's permissible. What does he mean, like a balloon that blows up? Let's say you have a beach ball. Let's say you have a beach ball that is flat, and you put air in it. Happens to be the beach ball has mud on the outside of the beach ball. Are you allowed to wash that beach ball off on Shabbos? You are, because there's no absorption altogether. So, Rav Shlomo Zalman said, contact lenses are like a beach ball. They rise and shrink based upon the amount of liquid, but fundamentally, there's just surface dirt, there's no problem at all. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman. It says Rav Reuben, the last paragraph in Tess, Hine lachashin is bara ide mumchim. Since the expert told us she'ena metzius tvishkos of Rav Neubert, it's not true. I aser contact lenses. Rav Shlomo Zalman was under a mistaken impression. What he recorded just wasn't true. That's the psak of Rav Reuben. So he says you can't use contact lenses on Shabbos if you're going to clean them. Now let's stop for a second and think. Hold on. Rav J. David Blythe, originally in tradition, soon after this came out, and then all his Rav Blythe's beautiful essays eventually make into Rav Blythe's Svarim. Rav Blythe writes, he says he thinks Rav Shlomo Zalman is right, just imprecise. Rav Shlomo Zalman is right in that apparently if you look under a microscope, plastic is different than material. Materials have molecules, and the molecules, the way that there's going to be any absorption in materials, that the molecules bond to the water. Meaning the water molecules bond to the material. That's what absorption is. But plastic doesn't work that way. Plastic has molecules. The water can actually go between the layers of molecules, but it can't bond to the molecules. So as Rabbi Blythe thinks, that's what Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach means. That's why there's no problem to use contact lenses. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, based upon what we've seen in Rosh Hashanah Arbach, one might say a totally different approach in this very kula. We've seen that Rosh Hashanah Zalman sometimes presumes that one is not going to look at something which is beyond what the eye can see. So it's very possible to say, Rosh Hashanah Zalman, the very one who is making even on scales, he said scales would be mutter because you can't tell they're insects. It's hard to imagine that what Rosh Hashanah Zalman Aruch means is that since molecularly, they're not really bonding to the molecules, they're only between the molecules, that's mutter. Rosh Hashanah Zalman is not ish ha-molecularity. He's not the man of molecules. He doesn't look at things microscopically. What does Rosh Hashanah Zalman mean? Precisely what Rav Asher Weiss said. Rav Asher Weiss pointed out, with baby wipes, we don't care about what's happening molecularly. What we care about is what the average Joe says. The average Joe doesn't see baby wipes absorbing. You just see something wet. The average Joe doesn't see a contact lens as having molecules that are going to absorb the water like leather. What does the average Joe see when you see a contact lens? You see the fact that when it's dry, you have to throw it out. It can't be used. When it's wet, it's usable. You don't see the fact that the water goes between the molecules. You just see the fact that it's wet means that it's usable. Now, when you see a dirty lens, does the average person think a dirty lens? You know what that means? That means there's dirt somewhere between the molecules of the contact lens. There's dirt. And now with my power vested in me and the unbelievable human ability I have to put in a cleaning solution, I'm now removing dirt from within the molecules of a contact lens. The average person doesn't think that way. What am I seeing? I see something dirty that I'm making clean. This piece of plastic right now. Take this piece of plastic. That's dirty. I then wipe off the schmutz or with water, I make it clean. So the average person thinks the exact same phenomenon happens with the contact lens. What happens is the contact lens is something which is dirty that I'm making clean. Yes, the perception is that a contact lens is not usable when it's dry. When I put the water in, I'm blowing it up. I'm just making it usable. The average person doesn't think about molecules. Rav Shlomo Zalman is telling us, just as we saw Rav Shlomo Zalman in a totally different situation with scales. The only point is, perception is that if it's something which is dirty that you're making clean, it's not a material, there's no problem. Meaning, if you think about it in theory, there are three classifications in the world as far as cleaning on Shabbos. There are materials, there is leather, and there's wood and non-porous substances. So, material you can't put in water. Leather you can't clean, perhaps. What if I take wood and I shine wood? Or I put some soap on wood on Shabbos. Put some soap on formica, put some soap on granite. It's a very different situation. In fact, I dare say we all might do that, at least inadvertently, if you're washing the dishes, and it spills on granite, splashes on granite, splashes on formica. You'll wash it around. You might even say, hey, it's good to clean. You're not going to necessarily dry it, because that might be squeezing, but to wet it, even intentionally with soap, no problem. The average person thinks that contact lens plastic, although it has water that makes it usable, is no different than formica or granite. Because, yes, you can't put formica or granite in your eyes, but the point is that no one thinks that the dirt is absorbed in the plastic. It's plastic. It doesn't absorb. If you had to vote, plastic is much closer to a solid substance that doesn't absorb than to leather. Yes, you can bend this plastic, but still, the perception is that this item does not absorb water. And therefore, I think the intent of Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach is not that he's saying molecularly that this can't absorb. Quite to the contrary, their perception of the average person when you have a contact lens that's dirty is that it was dirty somehow on the surface. Now you made it clean. You might tell me, in lumdus, molecularly, the reason that the dirt got out is because it was stuck between the molecules. I don't really care. The average person sees a dirty lens, now a clean lens. Yes, this contact lens might be malleable, might be bendable in a similar way to leather, but leather doesn't absorb. Contact lenses might technically absorb, but the average person sees that plastic no different than this plastic. This is much harder plastic. That's soft plastic, but the point is that the plastic itself doesn't absorb. Their perception creates the reality in Malachas Shabbos. Their perception is that plastic doesn't absorb. Even if molecularly it does absorb between the molecules, we don't really care. So says Rosh Hashanah, that's, it seems to be that is the most precise reading of his language in source tests. Third line again. Bad rudyal, balea basivim uvenesivim. The actual materials absorb between the layers of material. Adashos Mava, but contact lenses, Ain Bahem Sivim and Venesivim. They don't have different layers. They do or not, I don't really care about it, says Rosh Hashanah, but we don't perceive that they have that. Elei Misnapchos Machmas Alayim, they just blow up just the water, and says Rosh Hashanah, Kamo Padur, Shemitapayach Menavir, like a ball that blows up from air. Meaning we don't see the fact that there's water in it making it have more molecules, we just see the fact that it's, if there's no water, it's dead. Once there's water, it's usable, but no one sees Tatavetz as absorbing. Therefore, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that it's mutter l'gamri to use tantech lenses on Shabbos, and Rav Shlomo Zalman chai v'kayam. His psak is not based upon an erroneous understanding. No, Rav Shlomo Zalman never meant that you care about the molecular structure of tantech lenses. The perception is creates the reality here. Perception is that tantech lenses don't absorb, therefore there's no problem altogether. Another way of saying this is that Rav Asher Weiss, the one who said that in Melechus Shabbos, in fact, in Sochei, we don't really care about what's happening molecularly, we just care about what you can see, is going to say we don't see contact lenses as being dirty on a molecular level. If there's no problem altogether to have contact lenses cleaned on a molecular level, in his eyes, it's no different than a paper than having a plate. If you ever wash the dishes on Shabbos, you're allowed to clean contact lenses. Dishes have chicken, have chowent on them, and you clean them off. Similarly, contact lenses have dirt, you clean them off, no problem altogether. I would have a harder time saying that Rav Shlomo Zalman is maker with contact lenses had it not been Rav Shlomo Zalman that said it, and Rav Neubert didn't back down before he was Nifter, but I'll tell you a secret. None other than Rosh HaMadabrim, Rosh HaMachmirim, Rav Reuben himself, in the very same Hechol Gimel that we quoted before as far as baby wipes, in a short blurb, a short article, quotes that he himself is much more maker now with contact lenses as well. Little known to most people, he says, someone wrote him a question, can you please explain this shmua, the rumor that you heard that you changed your psak as far as contact lenses? And he writes, I didn't change my psak, I'll tell you what happened. It used to be that I used to think you had to clean contact lenses every day. And therefore, I presume that if they're dirty for one day, you're actually doing something which is purposeful, because if you didn't clean them on Friday night, you couldn't use them on Shabbos because they actually were too dirty. You're removing the molecular dirt. But then he said to Reuben, I heard from most people that you clean tonsil lenses once a week, once every other week. So if you do it on Shabbos, you're not really doing anything because you didn't really need to do it on Shabbos anyway. So therefore, you're not really accomplishing so much in the first place. Since you're not accomplishing, even I would be Meitel. But says Reuben, I would be Meitel, but I'm not Lamaisa. And he has in big letters, Mishnah, Lo, Zazami, Makoma. I'm not changing my mind. Since Lamaisa, it's hard to know. With that one day, maybe you are changing, maybe you are actually doing something on purpose. Lamaisa amachmir. What he really means, sounds like, is I would be meitel, but I still have aim of yira to be meitel. But for those of us that perhaps would have a netiyah like Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach anyway to lahakel, it's good to see that even Rav Reuben, who was the Rosh HaMachmirim, indeed really stops right before the 99-yard line and being meitel himself as well. So we've seen so far a fascinating discussion, which really runs the gamut in totally disjointed areas of halacha. We began with the concept of brain death, where Rosh Hashanah said brain death is determined based upon science, even though you can't see it. On the other hand, what we eat, eating air or eating things that are fermented, we don't care. If science can't see it, if science knows it's there, halacha can't see it, I can't see it, we don't care. We had this discussion of halachas, Rosh Hashanah and the Chazanish as far as scales. Baby wipes, contact lenses. Lamaisa, it's very possible this machlokes has its roots in an age-old discussion in a Gemara in Maseches Shabbos. A word that strikes fear in the eyes and ears of many a parent is the word nitz, and even more chas v'shalom, the word lice. An outbreak of lice in a school, even in another person's grade, means everyone has to have their hair short if you're a girl, and people have to be careful not to share hair things, not to share yarmulkes, and people sometimes have to go and get their hair, things removed, chas v'shalom. But it's not only in our generation that people hate nits and hate lice. There was a desire people had way back in the days of the Gemara to kill lice. The question was, Sunday to Friday you can kill a louse. What about on Shabbos? The Gemara says, quite clearly, the majority opinion is in source Yud, the bottom of page 3, Chidi Rabbanan Lezi Rabbi Lezer, Rabbanan hold, Bikina De'ena Para Barabba. A kina, a louse, does not have normal reproduction, and therefore you're allowed to kill it on Shabbos. It seems that the Gemara means is kinim, spontaneously generate. They come from Zeya, they come from filth, they come from the hair. Since they're not born from males, from females, from eggs, they don't have parents, they just come from nothing, you're allowed to kill kinim on Shabbos. Abaye says, what do you mean? V'kina ain't a part of a rabba. Kinim don't procreate. I, V'amar Mardin, we learn, Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'zon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives in his infinite kindness, Hazon es HaKol, Mikarnei Re'emim, from the horns of the great Re'em, the unicorn, a great majestic creature, Ad Beitzei Kinim, till the eggs, even of lice. Hashem gives everything its sustenance. Beitzei Kinim means kinim of eggs. It means they don't come from the hair, they don't come from filth, they come from eggs. So says the Gemara, no. Mina, who is the mitri of Beitzei Kinim. It's a type of animal called a Beitzei Kinim. It's not nits, it's not eggs of kinim, it's a type of animal. So the Gemara is saying, we stand by the Gamri. Kinim einan parim v'rabim. Kinim do not procreate. Wow. Not only is that true, but top of page 4, Halacha Ma'aseh and Shulchan Aruch Pasdin unanimously. Kina mutter lahardan. Shabbos, you're allowed to kill lice because they don't procreate. Wow. The question is, we know nowadays, based upon even elementary medical science, elementary science, kinim do. Kinim come from nits. Kinim come from eggs that are laid, and they are indeed parim v'rabim. So, what does the Gemara mean? For some people, it's a question of hashtrafa. Chazal said something which science seems to say is not true. And leaving out the hashtrafet issue for a minute, issue in halacha, kinim are parim v'rabim. So if they are parim v'rabim, then it seems that it should be usher to kill them. How do we approach this Gemara? For hundreds of years, this is the Gemara, there's a sefer called Pach HaYitzchak, which is a kuntres, an encyclopedia on topics in halacha, which has a discussion, he and his Rebbe, about this very topic. Are kinim nowadays different than kinim that were in the days of Chazal? Do we say that Chazal were wrong, perhaps? That Chazal were mistaken, almost? It's also to say such a thing. Very big hashtrafic discussion, which is already hundreds of years old. There's a sefer, an unbelievable sefer, called Hishtanus HaTzvaim BaHalacha, a beautiful sefer that goes through all different types of ideas of Nishtana HaTeva, how things recorded in Chazal are one way, yet science now says another way, and goes through all those areas of halacha. In the introduction to that sefer, there is a phenomenal hashtama from Avigdor Nevinzal. He is the Rav of the old city of Yerushalayim, the Rav of the Ir Atika. Rav Nevinzal, for most people, is known for hasmada. He's known for beautiful sichos yasfarim, for sichos, uplifting sichos in hashtafa. You read this hashtama, you see what a gon adyu in halacha, in shas, Rav Nevinzal is. He went through the entire sefer. Sefer he didn't write. A Talmud sent him. He went through the entire Sefer and had detailed points in which he argued with the author that he just wrote matter-of-factly in the introduction. He has around 30 points. This Gemara that you quote, well, really, you could say this. This is some Rishonim to say this approach. Ga'inus that you see, I had, in my little knowledge of Rav Nevinzal, I was never zochet to even meet him, his stature rose exponentially just by reading this Hashtama. Says Rav Nevinzal, he was a Talmud of Rav Shlomo Zalman Talmud and Chavrusa of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, says Rav Nevinzal, in the footnote to his Hashtama, I'll tell you, the issue of Kinim, how did my Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Zalman, understand this? Adoni Mari V'Rabbi, Adoni Rav Shlomo Zalman Roshita Nokat. He presumes, in source Yibayz, even in Hatinim, Hohu Chazal L'fi Maris Ha'ayin. What does Chazal mean that Kinim don't procreate? Yes, Chazal might have known that kinim procreate, but they don't care beyond a certain level. We don't really care. Since the eye doesn't see kinim procreating, you might see nits, you might see kinim. Since it's not perceived by people, that's enough to form the halacha. This is exactly Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, l'shitaso. L'shitaso with the scales, l'shitaso, the way I was understanding it, with tantalic lenses. There might be matter beyond what we could see, but Ein lanu esef b'nistaros. We don't care. That doesn't make a difference. Ironically, who are some of the machmirim? The Sefer Orchos Shabbos, co-authored by Rev Rubin, quotes that he thinks halacha l'maisa, nowadays we should actually refrain from killing kinim, because we're machmir halacha l'maisa. In the bold, he says, Yesh amorim, some of the pasdin, t'tov l'himana mitach. One should indeed refrain from killing kinim. Kevan shekinim bizmaninu, at least the kinim that we have nowadays, yadu Hashem parim v'rabim. We know that the ones nowadays parim v'rabim. What do Chazal mean? We don't know. At least the ones nowadays are parim v'rabim. Therefore, one should not kill kinim. Meaning, microscopically, one might argue, or beyond a certain level, we still say, once we know that they are parim v'rabim, they do procreate, it's a problem. But Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, l'shitaso, says, once it's beyond a certain level, geit min hashtan, I don't care. It's possible. One could make each of these machlokes we discussed tonight independent. They're not necessarily tali habaha, but it's fascinating to see a concept going straight through. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Rav Asher Weiss seem to be on the same approach. That yes, there might be phenomena that take place in halacha, but since they take in the world, halacha doesn't really care about them if they're beyond a certain level. Rav Yitzchak Mordechai Cohen Rubin, among others, is going to be machmir. No, if we can use people from Shankar College or others that are going to tell us what's going to be occurring on a microscopic level, indeed, we're at least choshesh for such a situation. Uchumra. Let's just spend a minute reviewing the fascinating machlokes we discussed tonight. We began with Rav Moshe Feinstein telling us that in as far as kashrus, things that are not visible to the naked eye are not a problem at all. The Shoel in his tshuva wanted to say the same is true with brain death, that since you can't determine whether the person is alive or not without using a special scientific measurement, he should be considered dead. Rav Moshe says, no, that's too far. But indeed, Rav Moshe does tell us, an idea that Postum before him said as well, we don't care about things that the eye can't see as far as kashrus. Oh, what does that mean? We had a discussion as far as the New York copepods that are indeed visible to the naked eye, but you might not be able to see that they're insects. Some say you may even be able to see they're insects. But it's reminiscent of a machlokes, the Shmir Shabbos Shulchan Aruch quotes as far as scales. These scales, these insects that just stay there, that you can't really see they're insects, Rav Shlomo Zalman thought they're actually mutter. Since the eye can't notice they're insects, he was going to say mutter udamri to eat them inadvertently. Chaznish said no. It seems, the Chazon Ish says, no, since they are visible with the naked eye, you just can't determine whether they're insects or not. That's enough reason to say that they are usur. But we see, this is example number one, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, once there's a certain level that things are not visible, we don't care about it in halacha, even though we might know the emes. Halacha doesn't really care about it altogether. Then baby wipes. Baby wipes, Rav Shlomo Zalman is maker with baby wipes, as is Rav Asher Weiss. Rav Reuven says, baby wipes, molecularly absorbed, says Rav Asher Weiss, I don't care what they do molecularly. Since lamaisa doesn't seem to the average person like you're squeezing things out, it's just something which is moist, that you're taking some moisture from, mutar l'gamri. It seems, based on what we've seen, I might argue Rav Shlomo Zalman would be metal on baby wipes. Indeed, we saw he was. Rav Shlomo Zalman was metal on baby wipes as well. Same approach, Rav Shlomo Zalman, the things that are not visible to the naked eye, even though biologically they might be happening, we don't care about. Rav Rubin says no. He did research. He found that certain baby wipes are absorbent, and therefore it's a problem of schita. You're squeezing out the liquid from within the baby wipes. Indeed, it's a problem. Seems like Rav Rubin is concerned about things that are determined molecularly, not only based on the naked eye, it would seem. The retort was made by Rav Asher Weiss. He said no. Again, I'm going to tell you, since it doesn't seem like it's anything that's being squeezed, is permissible to damri. A similar machlokas takes place in a totally different area of Hilchos Shabbos as far as contact lenses. Rav Shlomo Zalman is makel, you're allowed to clean soft lenses on Shabbos. Rav Yitzchak Mordechai Cohen Reuven, asers. What's pshat? So it's possible, it's again the same idea with Shitasim, that Rav Shlomo Zalman argued that since the perception is that there's dirt and you're cleaning it, it's like something which is dirty that you're cleaning. We don't care what's happening molecularly, it's mutter. Which means Rav Asher Weiss, in theory, would also say nowadays you're allowed to clean soft lenses on Shabbos. However, Rav Rubin says that since molecularly you know that it's absorbing, it has a level of dirt, it's a problem to remove that on Shabbos. Machlokes line up in a row. And it is possible, although one might see it differently, that this machlokes really has its roots in the aspect of kina, to kill a kina on Shabbos. Halacha says you're at the Tulkinim on Shabbos. We know medically, it's chemically, that's just, they are part of Merabim. They do not spontaneously generate. So how do we deal with that in Halacha? Says Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, indeed, we don't really care about what happens biologically. The Halacha to eye does not go beyond a certain level. I just had the zechus to read recently part of Rav Moshe Meiselman's new book called Torah Chazal and Science, which he spends around 100 pages developing this very thesis. The reason kinim are mutter to chill is because the eye does not go beyond a certain level. In a footnote, he even quotes that he's heard Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said a similar approach, but since he never heard it from anyone reliable, he can't be misapplied to him. He has to say it's his own approach. Perhaps he was not familiar with Rav Nevensal, who was, I presume he would consider reliable, who indeed quotes this in the footnote, does say that it is the approach, in a pithy way, of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. It's interesting how Rav Rubin, who is the one who we see here as machmir, even things beyond the eye level, does quote Rav Eliashiv, who indeed is machmir as far as the Tantach, as far as killing kinim as well. Again, he says, since kinim are nowadays are part of Rabbim, we don't say eye beyond a certain level is going to be permissible. The eye doesn't see halakhically what happens. He says, indeed, it is a problem, l'shitaso, that we go beyond what the eye can see, perhaps. Again, each of these machloksim might be able to be examined in of itself without relying on the other one, but it's a fascinating approach we see within this halakhic universe. How far do we examine each sense? Do we say what the eye, the ear, the nose, the senses can see, hear, and smell is where we stop? Or no, we probe beyond, go to vistas that no one has been able to explore until recently. Use that to determine the halacha. Tonight is the yahrzeit, the 11th yahrzeit of Imi Marasi, Yemeinu Maraseinu, Marasi Yochabit Hashem Bas Hillel. And there's a certain frustration for those that never met my mother to explain the wonderful person that she was to you. And the frustration for those of us that, of course, knew my mother intimately, not to have her, the privilege of having her presence any longer. But I'll share with you one specific aspect, one unique experience I had with my mother, Aleha Shalom. Yemeinu Maraseinu was Nifteres when she was 52 years old. She unfortunately was sick with cancer for a large part of a decade before that. And whenever Mommy and I used to go to treatments together, we had an interesting minhag. We used to always go beforehand or during the treatment. I used to be the shliach to go get Carvel. We were in the hospital, which is still colloquially known as Booth Memorial Hospital for most of the treatments in Queens, and across the street was a Carvel. So I used to go get a Carvel, not just Stam ice cream, a Carvel Avalanche. It was really just schmack ice cream. You could put in all the different toppings. They mixed it up. And I used to have one. My mother used to have one. And of course, to a bystander, it looks like a mother and son who are just trying to douse the difficulties of chemotherapy in a more pleasurable pastime of eating ice cream. But Mommy taught us a very different approach. Life has ups, life has downs. Life has nisyonos. In fact, there are some good nisyonos and some negative nisyonos. Mommy taught us that even when there are nisyonos, you can take a nisayon and say, yes, indeed it's a nisayon. I'm not going to ignore the nisayon. I'm not going to run from the nisayon. I'm going to embrace the nisayon, take it head on, and smile. And sometimes when I smile, and I'm sure my siblings, when we still smile nowadays, 11 years later, those smiles are smiles of Mommy. Smiles that can say, Shmuel Gil Eliezer Dvarah, there are nisyonos in life. In fact, everyone has nisyonos. There are nisyonos in Eretz Yisrael, everyone has nisyonos. People have personal nisyonos, communal nisyonos. The mesorah that I have from my mother is to take nisyonos head on, to say we're not going to hide from nisyon, to see that nisyon indeed is a nisyon from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and despite that, say, Hazarim B'dima Rina Yitzaru. Not always the Rina of long-term survival, but the rina of being able to take a nisayon, take it head-on, smile, be omei v'nisayon, and do the ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should be zoche to have a gula in Eretz Yisrael, in the most pressing situation that we're in Eretz Yisrael right now. And even without that, the tzara in Aza, we're into 3 weeks, the saddest time for Klal Yisrael. And we should be Zoche, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Chazal have made us part of our Masorah. We have three Haftaras of Paranus, but seven of Nechama. We should be Zoche to have Nachamu, many, many Nechamos. Simchas that we all can share together, Simchas we share together as a family, Simchas we share together as a Tzibur, Simchas we share together as Klal Yisrael, as we dance together with Mashiach Tzatenu in Yerushalayim HaBnuya B'mheira B'yameinu. Rabbi Hanani ben Chashi Amar, Ratzal Kadosh Baruch Hu, Chazal Chosas Yisrael,